Welcome to Our Lives with Shannon Fisher, where we discuss everything that brings us life. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Our Lives with Shannon Fisher. This is your host, Shannon Fisher. Today, we are going to talk about the publishing industry from a very unique perspective. My guest is a theologian, pastor, critically acclaimed science fiction author. David Williams has written and published long works, short works, fiction, nonfiction. He's a pastor at Poolsville Presbyterian Church, and he has found navigating the publishing landscape to be both exhilarating and exasperating. And he's here today to talk about his work and his journey. David Williams, welcome.
Hi, Shannon. Glad to be here.
So we have a lot of prospective writers who listen to our shows on the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, and they are always seeking insight into the publishing industry. And so you are someone with a whole lot of experience in many aspects of it. You've got one nonfiction book that was just sold to a publisher. And so let's talk about that upcoming. What was the process from inception to where you are now with that book?
That book, its current title, which we finally settled on, is The Prayer of Unwanting. It's a book that pushes back against the concept that comes out of the prosperity gospel and the health and wealth preachers that do really well for themselves, that the point of prayer is to get stuff. The point of prayer is your own material success. It's your own place in society. And that, as a, as a Christian, it's kind of hard to miss that that's not what Jesus taught at all.
Like,
totally the opposite thing. It's the opposite thing. So this book looks at the Lord's Prayer, which is the core prayer that he taught for use in all circumstances, and highlights how it is completely different. I'd written the book years ago. Actually, I'd spent much of my last year working on a manuscript to give to my agent that looked at the place of faith in dealing with the crisis of aging in America, as we all start aging out, as we deal with aging parents, and as the proportion of our population that's elderly increases. I'm like, this is a perfect place for me to engage my tradition. I'd spent like a year working on that, sent her the manuscript. And then when we had the call, she's like, okay, this is great, David, but I just found a manuscript you sent me back in 2015 that I put in a pile and forgotten about. And I love it. And I want to pitch that. And I'm like, which manuscript? And it was the one for The Prayer of Unwanting, which I had sent her just to inform her of it, because I'd self-pubbed it for my congregation. And all
isn't
of a sudden,
that how life is? That's so crazy,
like, out of
that
nowhere.
You're trying
like,
to pick one, and this thing you'd forgotten about is suddenly in the forefront of her mind. That's great.
And she'd found it. Like, again, she was cleaning out her office and was like, oh, did I ever read that? And she did. And like, okay, suddenly that's the book we're pitching. And she sent it to an editor I'd work with and a publisher I'd work with on a book on faith's role in coping with and adapting to the climate crisis. And that editor, who had just lovely, lovely person who I'm working with, working with now, she's like, I love this. And so we went with it. And all of a sudden, I'm working on a completely different book. And my sense in the publishing industry, particularly when you're only partially established, is that you never know when something's going to hit. You have no idea. You can structure your whole writing life around a particular manuscript, but you don't know who's going to, when it's going to catch fire, who's going to show interest, or when suddenly interest will, bam, just come right out of the blue. And my experience so far in the four books I have traditionally published has been that. I think that changes. If you've read Anne Lamott's Bird by Bird, which is a lovely journey through Anne Lamott's experience of publishing her wisdom there is that you start knowing what's going to happen after you have published anywhere from 7 to 10 books. And then it becomes a little more predictable because you're a known quantity, you have editors and publishers you've regularly worked with, and that dynamics of those relationships have been established. But before that, it's just wild and random.
Sure.
That's been my experience so far. You just never know.
You never know. And you're kind of a David of all trades when it comes to writing. You've got fiction, nonfiction, long form, short form. But it seems that kind of this science fiction realm is something you really, really enjoy. You've got an agented novel that's currently being pitched to publishers and one unagented novel that you're currently pitching to agents. So what is it about that genre that attracts you and kind of gets your creative juices flowing?
I have always loved science fiction. It's been something that I recall being engaged with since I was an early reader, engaging with Asimov and Clark, and particularly Ray Bradbury as a kid. There's the only book of science fiction my parents owned was a copy of Ray Bradbury's R is for Rocket, which was a collection of his short stories. And I must have read that like 20 times or more. A Sunday afternoon, I'd find a little corner and go and read it. And the way that sci-fi engages our thinking, the way that it connects us in a tangential way with the reality we're dealing with now, but also sets us towards possible futures, has always been intriguing. And so my own writing has been extensively in that genre, in large part because I enjoy it. And I think the key thing, if you're writing, you gotta like the thing you're writing.
Amen. Yes.
You have to want to read that book yourself.
Indeed.
And that's particularly necessary because there's no guarantee anyone else is gonna read it. So you, at a bare minimum, you have to want to read the story you're telling. You have to connect with that personally. And that's been the case with everything I've written. For example, the agent that has been working with my sci-fi stuff now, who's just lovely, London-based, I connected with him back in 2019 around a manuscript that I was really, really eager to pitch, but the agent who'd handled my first work of fiction had basically told me, you know, David, I know you like writing sci-fi. That's not my thing. That's not my area of interest. You really have to find another agent for that.
Aww, yeah.
Well, it's fine. No, she's great. And she's been great about pitching and connecting my faith-based work, which is really, that's her area of interest.
And the agent has to believe in the work in order to pitch it successfully. So it's good that she's honest about that. Yes.
Yeah, she was straightforward about it. It's like, look, I can handle this other stuff you're doing, but you really, if you want to keep going with sci-fi, you got to find someone who focuses on that. And so I had pitched a novel manuscript called Traitor, which was about a sort of standard, it's kind of a standard AI uprising trope novel, but with a slight spin on it. The story of a young woman who's living in the town where my church is located, who has no purpose at all in life. She sort of drifted through high school, bailed on college, doesn't think there's any meaning to anything in the world, spends her days basically sitting around smoking weed and providing occasional care for her disabled younger brother. Life's going nowhere. The AI uprising occurs, and she, along with her brother, are taken to a re-education camp that the machines are running for those who are sufficiently neuroplastic to be reprogrammed. And she finds her life's calling, helping the machines overthrow the last vestiges of human resistance. And so the whole book is told from her perspective as she helps take down a whole range of things. So I don't want to spoil too much there. But I connected with him around that novel, and we couldn't sell it because, you know, AI is not a big thing now. But, you know, it's a question of when it hits. You know, we started pitching. Yeah, 2020 was not a great time to be trying to pitch a book.
Absolutely. 2020 was not a great time for many things in the world. Yeah.
It really wasn't. And so we did a whole bunch around that. And he, you know, he basically exhausted all the editors he knew who might be interested. And that was that. Gave him my next book, which was a pair of interwoven novellas, sort of the life of an author who has been struggling to publish and finally does publish, and it goes very differently than he'd expected. That interwoven with the novel he's written, because he's basically writing an imagined version of his own life. So that one was entertaining to do. He enjoyed it, and so that's what we're out there pitching now. Something called Good Dog, and you know, it's who knows where that'll go. There's no way to tell.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. And I mean, you were talking about AI not being really big right now. I mean, AI is big right now. It's big in the news, you know, like you can't read a publication without reading something about new developments in artificial intelligence. And so, I mean, is that why you think that it really isn't hot right now in literature, because it's so hot in pop culture? I mean,
now just being sarcastic there. I mean, it's hugely hot. I mean, it's on fire now, and stuff that deals with it and that helps us explore and engage with it is there. I mean, it's just the particular time and the particular editors didn't work, and you never know that. Like I had one of my works of theology, which I'd pitched for a while with my nonfic agent, looked at faith, Christian faith, and the multiverse, because increasingly in narratives, like the multiverse is a huge thing. I mean, I think it's such a huge thing that we're kind of sick of it. But looking at multiversality as an actual cosmology, so the physics of it, and how that relates to faith, we'd pitch that to a bunch of different folks, and we had gotten a connection to a big name editor at a very large religion publishing house. And you know, he took about 6 months to read it, and when he got back, his core comment, the essence of his comment was, no one cares about this topic, and even if they did, they wouldn't care what David had to say.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that you can expect. And certainly the latter might be true, because it's, you know, when you've only got, like at that point, like two published books to your name, it's not like you're a name in the field. You're a small church pastor who happens to love to write. But the idea that the multiverse wasn't something people were talking about, you know, that was just dumb.
Right, exactly. and it's so subjective. I mean, that's I guess it depends on what world you live in, because we all are, you know, wandering around in our own individual worlds, in our own individual minds. And so if we're not paying attention to something, we might not realize that the rest of the world is.
Exactly. Not get a sense of that big picture. I mean, he didn't seem like the kind of guy who watched Marvel movies. So, I mean, I totally get why you would be oblivious to that, but you're still oblivious to a major trend in culture. So
exactly. Well, your first novel got a rave review from the Los Angeles Times, and that was about the Amish in a post-apocalyptic world, and then you have the Christ in the multiverse, and the faith and the climate crisis. So it really seems that your faith informs a lot of your writing. So tell me a little bit more about how those two things fit together.
They're integral one to another. I think if you're a person of faith, your faith defines the way that you understand and connect to every facet of your life. And so as I write, even things like the sci-fi manuscript about the AI uprising and the woman who's betraying humanity, there are core faith themes in that, and their engagements with faith communities, which she's mostly rejected. I mean, that doesn't matter to her, but it's the themes are always present in your writing because it's what you're thinking about, and it's the lens through which you view pretty much everything in the world and how you define yourself as an ethical and moral entity. Right. So as a writer, that doesn't go away. And there's, I think the challenge comes if you're writing from a faith perspective, if that starts so dominating your writing that your writing becomes didactic, where mm-hmm. it stops being realistic, it stops expressing characters who are believable human beings, and you start just burping out familiar tropes and stereotypes that rise from your particular worldview. That's a real danger, because then you're just producing faith-based propaganda, and which is as dull as any form of propaganda.
Right. You are a true storyteller, and you're weaving these themes into the stories that you're telling. And so you're obviously an extremely creative person, and you come up with a ton of ideas. How do you whittle down the plethora of ideas that pop into your mind into a short list of things that you want to turn into something long form?
It's difficult. I mean, I have a file entitled Book Hopper. Whenever I've got an idea, something pops into my head, like, ooh, that'd be fun to write, I will write it down. I typically have a placeholder title that lets me have a mental frame for it. It gives me sort of a keyword to keep that in my brain. And then I'll think about it for a while, but I'm never exactly sure where the impetus is going to come. I have only marginal control over my muse. I think she's much more, presses me a little bit more aggressively to go places. I'm like, wait, I'm writing this now? and you never know when something's going to click. I mean, I mucked around with several fiction manuscripts this last year and would partially start one. I'm like, no, this isn't really going the way I want. It's when you catch the flow of it. I think particularly when you find the voice or the identity of a character or the dynamics of the relationships between a couple of characters, and they kind of light up where you're like, wait, this feels like a thing I want to tell now. I like this voice. If you're writing from a first person perspective, where you really feel you're suddenly capturing a particular individual. It feels like it's out of your hands sometimes. You just got to wait for that moment to flow and go with it. And I know there are other writers who very much are like, you have to drill down and grind, and it's this great labor to get the words out. For me, it's always been, I write when it's fun. Mm-hmm. I have to be enjoying it, or I have to feel it matters. Otherwise, why would I do it?
I mean, it really is kind of a miracle when you think about the process from beginning to end that any book ever gets published, because you've got to get the idea, hone the idea, develop the idea, perfect it, write the book, get it to an agent, have an agent accept it, and then have the agent pitch it to publishers, have a publisher accept it, then go through the development and editing process there, and then getting it into the marketplace, and then getting it into the hands of readers. And every single one of those steps has to happen. I mean, it really is kind of a miracle that anything ever gets into the hands of readers.
Yeah, it feels that way. I mean, it's like if you, to use a Dungeons and Dragons metaphor, it's like you're rolling 10 sequential nat 20s. You take that 20-sided die, you roll it, you get a 20. And then you have to do that 10 times. And it's, there's so many places where the process can break down. You can have what feels like a perfect book, an enthusiastic editor. And then if the marketing doesn't happen, mm-hmm. it's not going to go anywhere because, there are... Now with the joys of self-publishing, there are about 3,000 new titles every day.
Oh.
You can lose yourself in that noise so easily.
Yeah.
So at a bare minimum, you have to love doing it.
Right.
I mean, you have to like feel this joy in writing, or feel a strong moral or personal compulsion to do it, because don't expect success. It's expect try to enjoy what you're doing, and do it for the joy of the sharing.
Absolutely. And you're in the middle of that process with so many different works right now. How do you keep that all straight in your head, and how do you keep the focus on one or another or all three at the same time when they're in different stages of the process?
Well, you have to be willing to like prioritize, set things aside, and trust that you'll get back to them. I mean, I'm 36,000 words into a cyber utopian Regency action romance.
Nice.
But I've had to set that aside for my book on prayer, and because I'm simultaneously marketing, like pitching through my own feeds, I'm trying to connect people with a theopolitical satire. So you have to understand there are limitations to how much you can do, and do each thing in its season, and be willing to be patient with it.
Right. Well, it really sounds like you know how to navigate this landscape. You know how it works. You don't take things personally, and you're willing to do the work. And I think that is the key. Do you have any specific advice to offer to people who are trepidatiously entering into the publishing landscape?
I mean, I think the best advice that I ever heard was from the sort of the publisher of my last book, the person who was executive publisher at Algonquin Books. Heard in an interview with her, it's like, the main thing to do is not quit your day job. You have to assume that this is a side gig you do for love, and you have to love doing it. You have to love the act of storytelling. You have to delight in creating and coming into encounter with characters, or really enjoy or feel that something is important or significant. Like, the book I'm pitching now, sort of plays with the was both a joy to write, and also sort of helped me process something that I felt was worth sharing. Meaning, this is the subtly titled book, titled Trump Antichrist, which I published as a under the nom de plume Lucius Hasatan. I wrote that book because I needed a way to process and understand how it is that my co-religionists can, so many of them can follow someone and engage with someone and put so much energy into someone who's exactly the opposite of Jesus.
Right. Yes.
Like it's like there's no connection between the two. How does that work? Where does that come from? I wrote that book because I needed to write it. I needed to find a way and a voice, and in this case, the devil's voice, celebrating what triumph he's had in completely messing American Christianity up, needed to find a way to express that.
See, that's a book I would want to read. That sounds really interesting and exciting.
It's interesting, it's exciting, but it's not a book publishers want to publish.
Yeah.
One, because it's weird. Even though it's grounded and it resembles C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, specifically inspired it. Coming at the evil using the voice of evil is very effective as a narrative construct. But there was fear. I mean, I contacted editors that I knew well who liked the book, but were afraid of
Retribution. Yeah.
legal things, legal retribution, and I think given the environment, actual risk to life and limb.
Yeah.
And that's a, you know, that doesn't mean you shouldn't publish it. It's just sometimes, you know, sometimes that's not something that publishers want to do. But
absolutely.
I mean, it's a hoot to write. Pitching it out there, I found that surprisingly, the reviews I've gotten on it so far since I started aggressively marketing it are either 1 star or 5 stars.
Well, I am certain there is a brave soul out there who is going to want to publish this. It's just it's getting it into the right hands, which what a process for you.
And that is finding the right people and trying to, because how do you connect with someone who's got influence? How do you connect with someone who's actually a publisher when they've got just an endless stream of information coming across their screens and their desks?
Right.
You know, it's difficult becoming signal. You've just gotta be willing to work through the noise and keep trying. Patience is the key.
Patience and stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah.
And it seems like you have both, in addition to talent and a plethora of ideas. David Williams, thank you so much for coming on the show today. This has been an absolute delight, and I have loved talking about your publishing journey with you.
Yeah, it's been lovely chatting, Shannon. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
And for Our Lives with Shannon Fisher, this is Shannon Fisher. See you next time.